There's not very many of us here, but I'm glad to be here. Always glad to share God's word with you. Hope you had a good Christmas day. Lori and I did. We actually stayed up until midnight last night and decided that we weren't going to wrap presents. We were just going to hand them to each other. So yeah, we did that, and it was pretty fun actually. Made her close her eyes and hand her stuff. It was she liked it. I liked it too. I'm going to start today's sermon in Romans chapter 14. Romans 14, starting in verse 5. It says here, one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all the days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it to the honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before judgment of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. I know there's some Christians out there that don't celebrate Christmas, but I also know Christians out there that actually make a birthday cake for Christ every December 25th. They sing happy birthday, they do the whole nine yards. I personally don't celebrate Christ's birthday. I don't see that in the scriptures. But who is right in the situation? To answer that question, we would have to go against Romans 14. We would have to make a judgment call that we just simply can't make. But we must be convinced of the choices that we make. If you mark this day as special, then you mark it to honor the Lord. If you don't mark this day special, you honor the Lord. It turns out, no matter what you believe in this situation, our motivations are the same. So we have to hold off the judgment and leave that to God. That said, there are some really cool things happening this time of year out in the world. I spend a lot of time on the internet, and I actually enjoy looking up random things. And Google search terms, it's a software that Google has put out there for web developers to use, and it lets you know what traffic certain words are getting. I looked up a few words just recently, Jesus, I looked up Christ, and I looked up Lord. And each one of these has its peak in December. That means that people out there on the internet are actually looking for Christ in December. Every Christmas season, this cartoon is played every year, the Charlie Brown Christmas Special. The Charlie Brown Christmas Special has been played for 50 years. It's shown in millions and millions and millions of homes. In that, one of the characters, Linus, quotes from the gospel. He quotes a good section of the gospel. Secular television is actually promoting the gospel out in the world during this time of year. There are roughly 30,000 radio stations in the U.S. I bet you just most of those, if not all of them, are playing Christmas songs here on Christmas Day. And some of those songs are songs about Jesus, songs that talk about the birth of Christ, songs that talk about the gospel. Millions of people that don't normally go to church are in church today, listening to the gospel, listening to how Jesus came into this world to be what he had to be. If we look at Mark 1, Mark 1, starting in verse 14, it says, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God." John's whole purpose was to pave the way for Christ, to make the way flat so that he could do what he needed to do. So John has now been arrested, he's in prison, and so now it's Christ's time. And what he says, the gospel that he preaches is in verse 15, it says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe everyone in the gospel." What Christ preached, his gospel was simple. The kingdom was here, it's time to repent, it's time to be what God wants from us. This is the very thing that people sitting in pews all across this country are hearing today, that the kingdom has come. My favorite part of the holiday season, though, has to be out on Bee Mountain, that giant star out there. Did you know that in 2011, that star almost didn't run? It was in very bad disrepair. They were worried it was going to kill somebody. I mean, the wires were stripped. If you would have gone up there while it was running, you could be electrocuted. But they ran it. They ran it for 4 days. People could have died. They could have been seriously hurt, but they still ran that star. In 2012, an Eagle Scout actually took up the leadership role in the renovation plan for the star. The town actually donated something like $20,000 to $50,000. They upgraded everything. They made the whole thing safe. There was a ton of investment in time. There was a ton of investment in money for a star, for a symbol of Jesus. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him.'" You know, these guys knew something was going on. They saw the star come up, and they knew something was going on because of the prophet Balaam. There was a 1,300 to 1,500-year old prophecy at the time Christ was born. It came way back from when Moses was leading the Israelites out of Egypt. It's actually Balak hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. The children of Israel had stopped over in Moab, and Balak really didn't like that, so he wanted them to be cursed. Basically, Balaam didn't want to do it, but then he went, and well, to make a long story short, God made a donkey talk to him, and yeah, Balaam pretty much decided that he was going to do what God wanted and say the things God wanted him to say. So when Balaam finally did get to Balak, he only gave blessings for the children of Israel. This made Balak really, really mad. So as a parting gift, Balaam told Balak exactly what the children of Israel are going to do. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't going to be a good thing. But he also did say in Numbers 24 in verse 17, it says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near." So sometime in the distant future, sometime maybe far away, "a star shall come out of Jacob, and the scepter shall rise out of Israel." There's going to be a star, and then there will be a king. So this is what the wise men spot when they see that star. They see a promise made 1,500 years ago that this star is going to come up, and there's going to be a king from it. So the wise men are looking for this. And the first place they go, as they're following the star, they realize, oh, it's going to be in Jerusalem. We're going to go to Jerusalem. The first place they go is to the current king of the Jews, the Herod. Herod really didn't know what was going on because obviously there was no other heir at the time. So he got the wise men together. He got his scribes and he got the chief priests of the time together, and they inquired of them and said, "What is this about?" And they all told him that this king of the Jews was going to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, because it fulfilled the prophecy from Micah 5:2, which is quoted in Matthew 2:6. It says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd the people of Israel." This is what Linus from the Charlie Brown special is always talking about. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them at the inn." Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but not because of men's designs, not because Mary decided, "Hey, I'm going to move to Bethlehem and I'm going to have a kid and it's going to be this great thing that the Bible says." No, they moved to Bethlehem because of the bureaucracy of the Roman government. God uses things that seem inane almost to do his will. He makes a donkey talk. He makes a virgin give birth. He sends people to Bethlehem because of the government. He uses what he wants to get his will done. Well, Herod was incredibly troubled by this whole situation. He was a tyrant. He was known to kill off his own family members to keep power. So he clearly was going to do something about this. So he pulls aside the wise men and he asks them when they first saw the star, and he asks them to go find this king of the Jews and to come back and tell him where he was so that he could go worship. So the wise men, they go their way, and they continue to follow that star to find out where Jesus was born. If you take a look at Matthew 2 in verse 9, starting in verse 9. "After listening to the king, they went on their way." This is the wise men. "And behold, the star that went, behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." The wise men found Jesus and they worshiped Jesus, but they didn't find him in a manger. They found him in a house. They gave him all the gifts. They gave him the three gifts that is talked about every Christmas, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. But it never really tells us how many wise men there was. A lot of the Orthodox churches, they say there was actually 12 wise men. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that these wise men saw the star, followed the star, and found the king that was promised. So these wise men had another vision, and they were told to depart and go another way, and that's what they did. An angel then comes to Joseph and tells him to get his family out of town, and so they flee to Egypt. And this fulfilled Hosea 11:1 that said, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." So Herod then sends troops to Bethlehem to kill all the children 2 and under. Every single child 2 and under. We've heard the story before, but this guy was a tyrant. There couldn't be nobody to stand against his lineage. You know, babies are pretty non-confrontational. They're dependent on you for everything. You have to feed them, you have to bathe them, you have to protect them. You can't leave them outside for very long or they will die. It's, you know, they don't tell you, babies don't tell you what you're doing wrong. They don't tell you that you have to change your ways. The star out there on that mountain, though, that's not a symbol for a baby. That's the symbol for a king. And according to Balaam, that king is the king that is going to make Israel great. But we know that king is something more. In Daniel chapter 7, we read about this king. Daniel 7, starting in verse 13, this is Daniel talking. I saw in the night vision, and behold, with a cloud of heaven, there came one like the Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. You know, Jesus grew up. He didn't stay a baby. He had all authority. He had all power. He had all dominion. When Jesus was born, angels appeared. Back in Luke 2, the shepherds were out in the fields. They were tending their sheep. Angels appeared and they talked to the shepherds and they sang. And they said this in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. The angels said that to those, peace to those that please him. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, 34. This is Jesus talking. He says, do not think that I have come to bring peace to this earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemy will be those in his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword. He came to separate his people out from the world. If we're not following him, we are not pleasing him. There will be no peace for us if he is not pleased. You know, this time of year, there's a lot of talk about Christ. It's a great thing. You can't deny it's a great thing. For the most part, the things they talk about are true things. And any time people hear about God, it's awesome. In Matthew 21, Jesus has just entered the city. People have been throwing palm branches down at his feet, and they've been yelling, Lord, Hosanna in the highest. They are praising Jesus. He is their king. Jesus goes and he cleanses the temple. And after he cleanses the temple, he starts healing people. And people, again, are yelling, Hosanna to the Son of David. But there were some that heard this and they were indignant. And they said, do you hear what they're saying? And Jesus' response to them comes out of Psalms chapter 8. Verse 2, it comes out of the Septuagint. It doesn't say exactly the same thing in our Bibles today, but what he says is, out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise. You know, the way Jesus has talked about at Christmas time is not necessarily 100% accurate. But what it is still praise for God. It is still praise. And if we are like these people in the temple that were so against God being praised, we just can't be. God puts praise into his people's mouths. We have to realize this. And I mean, nowadays, secular media companies are spreading the gospel every day of the month, in December at least. Even some public schools, you can still sing Silent Night, and God isn't allowed in public schools. This is the easiest time of year to talk to anybody about Jesus. So are you talking about Jesus right now? One of the last commandments that Christ gave in Matthew. Matthew 28, starting in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" To be a disciple of Christ, you have to know what Christ taught. But just knowing Christ as a child, as a baby in a manger, that's never going to be enough. You have to know his will. You have to be willing to do his will. And you must be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Christ is more than just a baby in a manger. He has to be your king. He has to rule your life. You must do his will, be separated from this world in order to get the peace that those angels in Luke chapter 2 are talking about. If you want that peace, if you want Christ in your life, we're about to sing a song. And during that song, if you need anything, just please come forward and talk to me, and we will either pray for you, we can baptize you, we can help you with your walk in Christ. Please come forward as we stand and sing.